Hello all, KJ here, and we have an amazing episode for you this week. We are talking podcasts and promotion and how to make the connection between yourself and the podcast your readers love. It's amazingly helpful, which makes me want to remind you about something else that's amazingly helpful, the Author Accelerator weekly email. It's a little pop of inspiration in your inbox every week, and personally, I read every single one. Find more at authoraccelerator.com.
It recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three. Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing, the podcast about writing all the things, short, long, entire books, small essays, which can be even harder. Actually, that's not true, but they can be mighty hard. Pitches, proposals, in short, this is the podcast about sitting down and getting your writing work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and the forthcoming The Addiction Inoculation coming out in April 2021. And you can find my writing at The New York Times and The Atlantic and The Washington Post and a bunch of other places. And I happen to agree with KJ. I had to write a 600-word essay the other day, and I'm like, 600 words, this will be a breeze. And of course, it was anything but a breeze.
It can be so much harder, like 400 words or 600 words or 800 words. You know, if only people would just let you blather on as for as long as you want and then stop, that would be much easier. But perhaps the results would not be super.
And speaking of blathering, who are you?
Exactly. I am KJ Dell'Antonia, the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, out on July 1st of 2020, which should be shortly after you hear this podcast, as well as How to Be a Happier Parent, out in paperback this year, and a frequent contributor to the New York Times, where I am the former editor of the Motherlode blog.
Woohoo!
And that's us. Yes. And we have a guest this week that I am extremely excited to welcome. So
I think listeners are going to love this guest.
Agreed. Agreed. So here's the deal, listeners. Y'all love podcasts, right? You listen to podcasts. We know, because you're listening. And you're a writer of some kind. You've got books or articles or essays or other work that you would like to get out into the world, which just might mean that you have imagined yourself as a podcast guest. Our guest helps people with that. She is Lauren Passel, the co-founder of Tink Media, a PR company specializing in podcasts, and a person who loves podcasts so much that she does a weekly email dedicated to nothing else entitled Podcast, the Newsletter, because of course. We're going to talk about finding the right podcast, creating your podcast-worthy story, making your voice part of the podcast world, perfecting your pitch. Oh, we got big plans. This is going to be really fun. Lauren, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. It's a tough act to follow because I'm such fans of both of you, and you guys have done so many amazing things. So I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Here's how much Lauren loves podcasts. When I got her business card, on the back is a little QR code that you can scan, and it takes you to a quiz that matches you with a podcast that you might like. I mean, that just killed me. That is so cool. I can hardly stand it.
Well, discoverability is a big problem, and I really, that's why I have my newsletter, and I thank you for mentioning it. And I love podcasts so much that I really want people to discover what everyone doesn't already know. And I always feel like when people say they don't listen to podcasts, it's just because they haven't found the right one yet. And I truly believe that there is one for everyone because there's so many.
Well, actually, not only that they haven't found the right one, but the weirdest thing has happened. You know, it used to be that there were a few podcasts out there and there wasn't a ton to choose from. Now, there's so much to choose from that when I open the sort of, you know, discover or browse podcasts feature on the app I use to listen to podcasts, I get overwhelmed really quickly. And it's really hard for me to find what exactly is right for me. So I'm so excited that you're here to sort of talk us through what you do and how you do it and how you match people with podcasts and how you match authors with podcasts that they could be on. So It's going to be great.
The number of podcasts there are, it is overwhelming, and it is very hard to search and find shows. But if you can do it, which is what I'm about to help you do, like, it's a really helpful tool for authors, because these podcasts are so niche that there probably is one that is perfect for you, whatever you're writing about, whatever you're an expert in, whatever your life story is. There's probably a podcast out there where you would be a great guest. And I think authors are the best podcast guests in the world because they're experts, they're storytellers, that, you know. So I think that by pitching yourself to a podcast, you are going to help yourself by promoting whatever you need to promote, but you're also going to make the podcast better. So, you know, I think you're doing a good service to the podcasters also.
Yeah, podcasts that have guests need guests. That's just the way it works. So without guests, an interview podcast would get really quiet.
Yeah. And even, don't go too crazy, but if there's a show that doesn't have guests, you could still email the person and say, just, I want to tell you about my book. Can I send you a copy? Because you never know. If they're developing a story, they might want to ask you something about it, the topic. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes even pitch my clients to shows that don't always have guests. And sometimes I'll make an exception.
That's cool. So I don't know. Talk us through getting started. And talk us through deciding to create a PR company dedicated pretty much entirely to authors and podcasts.
Right. Well, first, I'm going to quickly, I don't know if I need to prove this to you, but I'm going to tell you why it's so effective. It's just, you know, I used to work in marketing and social media and did like Facebook ads and stuff. And first of all, I never trusted the numbers that I got from Facebook about the analytics numbers. And I don't think people trust Facebook anymore anyway. So I feel like it can be a kind of a waste of money to spend on advertising on social media sometimes. But I think it's kind of like really effective. If imagine you're listening to a podcast, you've opted in to listen to a podcast, and the guest who you really like introduces you to an author. And the author has, I don't know, 30 minutes to really talk about their book. You're so much more likely to buy the book. It's just so effective. And it's just such an intimate experience listening to these shows. But the reason I started Tink is because, you know, it's really hard to pitch podcasts. It's a completely different medium than other kinds of, you know, it's different than magazines, it's different than newspapers, it's different than TV. The letters have to be different when the pitch letters that I'm using are different. Podcasters are in a different timeline than other kinds of media. And I just started noticing, I think a lot of PR people, you know, they don't have time to learn the podcast landscape. It's so huge. It grows so fast. That's why it's all I do. So I'm able to get good at it because it really does take one person. It's so, there's so many shows and, you know, it does take a specialty, I think, to get really good at it because podcasters get frustrated. I mean, you two are podcasters. I bet you get really bad pitch letters sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A few. But we're also, I mean, the other thing is that the reason we get bad pitch letters is that they're coming from people who don't actually listen to our podcast. And they think that we just want to talk to authors about their books. And our podcast is a little different from that. We want to talk about a particular aspect of writing a book, or, you know, this person had to switch publishers in the middle of the process, or this person had some, you know, special thing or some aspect of the writing of the book that was really interesting to our listeners, not just, hi, I'm here to talk about my book. That's not what we do. So it's pretty clear when we see pitches from people who don't know actually what we do on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I truly am podcast obsessed. And for the most part, I am pitching shows that I love and listen to and can write a personal note. Like, that's really what I'm going for. But my process is basically, I don't say yes to everyone because I don't want to let anyone down. So there's some things that are books that are harder than others. And I thought when I started the company that business books would be so easy because I thought, you know, these people, like, it's, you know, there's a lot of money in business books and there's a lot of business podcasts. I actually haven't had a lot of success in the business area. I think it's because a lot of those people want money or they just invite their friends. It's not, I mean, I can do it, but it's not the easiest. And the other thing is, fiction is more challenging. There's less shows that want to have fiction authors. But KJ is an exception, and I really enjoyed working with her. No, really, because she's a journalist. And so what my co-founder Kate and I did was we looked, because it really, I think it would have been much harder if it was just the Chicken Sisters. But because KJ also is a parenting expert and has a journalism background, we said, okay, KJ has a real story. And you know what? You can do that with anybody. Like, what is their story? What are they an expert in? I mean, I'm often asking clients, like, do you have a ghost story? Do you love skincare? Do you believe in astrology? You know, like, think about what else is part of your story, and you can go on podcasts talking about other things about your life and also talk about the book. You know, you don't just have to Google, like, what are the podcasts that have authors on them and pitch yourself to those shows. Really think about who you are, because the thing is, I mean, it's funny that I'm talking about podcasters to podcast hosts, but
no, you're talking to our listeners who want to know how to craft themselves into somebody that a podcast would be interested in talking to. So this is perfect.
Okay, well, you can add or correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe one thing that's a big difference between podcasters and, like, someone who you'd be pitching for a blog or something. Okay, if you have a book coming out July 1st, let's say, it's going to be harder to pitch after July 1st if you're pitching to TV or whatever, magazines. They're going to say, well, the book is already out. We don't care anymore. You know, whatever.
No news hook.
Right. But podcasters, I believe, they want storytellers. They don't care so much if the book is already out. They want someone, they're looking for good content for their podcast, and they don't really, really care if the book is already out. So this can give a much longer life to the campaign of your book. So you can pitch afterwards. But that means that the pitch letter has to be a little bit different, because like a pitch letter that you're pitching a magazine will start with, this is the book, it's coming out this day, this is the publisher, this is how many pages it has. Podcasters don't care about that. So my pitch letters always start with, I'd like to introduce you to my client, you know, and really explaining them as a storyteller, because I think that that's what podcasters, here's this, my client is a storyteller. They have this amazing story, and here's why they're a great fit, and here's why a conversation with you between the two of you would be so wonderful, and here's exactly what they could talk about on your show and how it's going to fit into your show. And then at the end I say, yeah, and then they have a book coming out, and here's all the information about the book. But the pitch letters are kind of flipped.
That's really insightful.
Right. The pitch letter is about the person and the story, not the book, or, you know, if somebody is, or the project, or, I mean, we've gotten, or the podcast. You can be pitching mm-hmm. yourself as a podcast guest to talk about your podcast. There, you know, or your YouTube channel, or whatever it is that you're creating. So you kind of walked through a couple of structure there, which is, you know, sort of let me introduce my client, or let me introduce myself. This is why I think you would be interested in them. This is why I think you would have a good conversation. And finally, here's some other things that you could talk about. Is that about how it goes?
Yeah, pretty much. And I do try to keep them pretty short. And, you know, I will go back to them if, you know, like, if my client gets on a show and I want to update people, you know, I try not to go back too often. You know, then it just becomes, you know, the typical PR cycle, you know, pitching cycle. But
how do you find the shows to pitch?
Well, that's, for me, the fun part. But, you know, there's a lot of ways, and I feel like it's kind of, I'm hacking into the tools. Discoverability is a huge problem. So there's a bunch of stuff I do.
So it's funny because the discoverability is both a problem for people who might want to listen to the podcast, but also a problem for you as an author looking for podcasts that you might be a good guest on.
Yeah. But I feel like there are some tricks that I've discovered. You know, you can just Google, of course, but there's better things to do. First of all, there's a website called listennotes.com. And if you go to Listen Notes, you can search topics and by episode, so you can search a keyword, and they'll give you, then you can search the keyword in episodes or podcasts, And then the best part is, okay, so I start a Google Doc where I start a Google search and I put those podcasts in. Then I go to Listen Notes. Then I go to a website called Player FM and I do the same thing. I search.
What is it? Claire?
Player FM.
Player? FM, yeah. Yeah, players. Player.
And I just think of keywords that are in my topic that I'm looking for. The other thing is I have a million apps on my phone to listen. And my favorite app is Pocket Casts, but I have them all in my phone because they're all search tools, even if they're not using them to listen. So search in Apple Podcasts. Okay, here's what I do. I make my list and I start pitching. And so I start sending out my letters. I always have the pitch letter, but then I write a little personal note at the top. Then, you know, you wait for people to respond. And once podcasts start responding and saying, yes, I want this person on my show, then, okay, pretend like Happier with Gretchen Rubin. Gretchen Rubin is like, yes, I want KJ on the show. So then I search for Gretchen's show in Apple Podcasts. And then we'll say, if you like Gretchen's show, you're going to like these other shows. So then it's kind of like suggesting similar shows. And that's kind of how I start building it out. And then I do the same thing in all the other apps. It kind of takes you on like a rabbit hole of podcasts. If you just, every time you get a really good fit, you're like, this is an absolutely good fit for my book and for me. Put it in all of the, like Stitcher and Castro and Pocket Casts and see what other things come recommended when you search that show in the app.
Can I give you the flip side of that story, which is, so my book has been out for, you know, what, 5 years now? And I still do podcasts. I do usually at least a podcast a week, but some of them are, you know, these really obscure. I'm doing a podcast next week that someone at a law firm does, and they just happen to hear me on another podcast. So what I find is that I'll get an invitation to be on a podcast because someone will say, oh, I heard you on, for example, The Art of Manliness, which, you know, was a really strange podcast for me to do, but these guys that host the show happen to have kids. So suddenly that was an intro into a whole world of podcasts that I had never heard of before because I don't tend to listen to podcasts that are like the art
centered on manliness.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really cool. I was like all of a sudden getting invitations based on the fact that those people, because podcasters listen to other podcasts. And so suddenly there's this whole new world that opens up based on people who listen to that podcast. The other thing that I love is when I'm on a podcast, and some podcasts do this and some don't, they will link their guests. And so, for example, in iTunes, if you go to my Armchair Expert episode on iTunes, in the show notes, I am actually linked and it will show all the other podcasts that I have been on. So if you write about parenting stuff, go search to see what podcasts I've been on through that search function in iTunes. And that works really well too.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Because you just said something about being on The Art of Manliness, and that's not typically what you do. And that's what's so great about podcasts because if you're an author and you're going to go on a bunch of writing podcasts and book podcasts, a lot of the listeners might have heard of you already. But if you dig deep inside and look into your soul and say, well, I also love astrology, or I mean, anything goes in podcasting. I have food stories. I know a lot about film. Like, what else do you know about? And you go on an astrology podcast and talk about astrology and then talk about yourself, then you're going to expose yourself to a bunch of new people who never would have heard of you before.
That is exactly what I was going to ask you, was figuring out those different aspects of your story. So, you know, I have heard people who meditate who have written books about things that were not about meditation at all on 10% Happier. Because Dan wants to talk to them about their meditation practice. So I think that can work for a lot of things. There's just that sort of moment in both the pitch and the podcast where you need to, you just want to tie those together. So, you know, I'm a regular meditator. I'm not, but let's just take that. And, you know, I find cooking meditative as well. So I have written this cookbook or whatever.
Yeah. I have two clients right now who... they have a show together, a podcast together. They're podcast clients because I also have podcast clients and podcaster clients. And they had a conspiracy theory they believed in and wanted to talk about. It was kind of a joke, but like I found a conspiracy theory comedy podcast for them too. And they,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So like whenever I have clients, I'm like, what, you know, I try to like dig and find out other interests they have. Or like, I always ask my clients, like, do you have a dog? Do you want to talk about your dog? Or like, you know, there's so many, like niche things that you can get into. And that's why I'm like bragging about myself kind of like, it's good to work with me because I do know more than anyone should about podcasts. I know more. Literally, I always joke that like, all of my sentences start with, I heard on a podcast, you know, I heard on a podcast this, I heard. So I've started saying like, I read in a book this, I talked to my friend about this. And my husband's like, did you really read that?
You're lying.
First you heard it on a podcast and then you talked to the friend, right?
You're right. Yeah, I mean, I have, but the podcasters are my friends. So
yeah.
There you go.
Lauren, can I add one quick thing, which is that I recently went about re-pitching myself to a bunch of places that I'd already pitched myself based on the fact that parents were facing new issues during this whole COVID thing. So I went back to a bunch of people that had said no to me in the past or that just hadn't responded and said, hi, I know I've emailed you before, but because XYZ, here are some reasons that it would be particularly wonderful for you to have me on now. And it was really amazing the response that I got. You know, people have been looking for new content. People are looking for that newsy hook. And so it would, don't be afraid to repitch.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. I mean, when COVID hit, you know, people, the podcast numbers went down a little bit, like, but are they're building back up. And I had a lot of clients that were supposed to be on physical book tours. And, you know, it was a really, it still is a really hard time for authors, but I feel like podcasts came in to save the day a little bit because there were all these podcasters that would never, like Mark Maron had never recorded a remote interview before. And he did one of the first remote interviews with my client. So it opened up all these. So I went back and knocked on all these podcasters' doors where I couldn't get an in-person interview scheduled and said, well, now that we're all doing remote, can we talk now? So it actually opened up a lot of doors. And I don't think that's going to, if we ever return to any sort of normal, I don't think that's going to go back to, I feel like people will be much more open to remote interviews. So that's a good opportunity.
I feel like people might wonder if they need any special equipment to do a remote interview.
Well, some podcasters do require like nicer microphones or, you know, stuff like that. I've actually had podcasters send my clients microphones to use or like kits if it's a really like high quality show. But that's like the very top. A lot of times they just ask that you kind of like record the conversation from your end with your phone, with the voice memo app on your phone. Or right now we're using QuickTime, which you guys just taught me about,
yep.
Which is blowing my mind. It's so easy. So I feel like the tech thing should never overwhelm anyone. You know, the podcaster can walk you through it. They've done it a million times and it's usually just like Skype or Zoom. And, you know, everyone's learning how to use Zoom now. So even my grandmother. So
sorry, my kid was on her first Zoom driver's ed. Don't even get me started. But the funny part is that someone said, it was a big group. And so one of the parents said, everyone needs to mute themselves so we can hear because, you know, people were wrestling. And then we all realized that the instructor, who is older, had muted himself too. We could have gone out like that for some time. It was very funny. So
I actually think this whole thing is going to be great for podcasting because, you know, I was scheduled to, so when I with Armchair Expert, for example, I was scheduled to do that live there in the attic with them, and then it, you know, the COVID thing happened and then everybody put the brakes on everything, you know, the television shows did, the podcast did, and then everyone figured it out. And we got, you know, a little bit of everything. We got people creating new shows. We got people figuring out how to do a lot of stuff remote when they had never done stuff remote before. Like Joe Rogan has people in that studio. He just didn't do remote stuff. And all of a sudden he's having to do remote stuff too. So there's this new level of competency that comes with suddenly everything going remote, and people are realizing that this is a lot, it's a lot easier for me to do this from my house than to jump on a plane and fly to Los Angeles to do a podcast. So if that's now an option and we can make it work and we're getting better at how we do it, I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity for virtual, you know, meetups and podcasts virtually now, which I think is great because, you know, not everyone can afford to get on a plane and go somewhere for a podcast, no matter how special it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't take the genie out of the bottle, put the genie back in the bottle. Sorry.
Yeah.
We all know how to do it now. And I think the question will be how much worth it? How worth it is it to take a plane? You know, when we get her, how worth it is it? How stubborn am I going to be that I'm going to only do in person when I don't want to miss out on great stories that can just as easily be done
remotely?
Absolutely. So let's talk about how much we should worry about podcast size. Personally, I don't even look. If you have a podcast and you invite me and it seems reasonable, I will probably do it because the investment for me is fairly low, yeah. But I would love to hear your take.
I don't look either. And by the way, I think it is so worth it to do, you know, small podcasts because the host tends to have a pretty intimate relationship with their and know their audience really well. And so I think there's a lot of trust with small podcasts too. So anyway, Lauren, go ahead. I think it's great though.
Can I put that quote on my website? Because I like that is truly what I believe in. But you know, another thing that's different about podcasts, and this I think will change, but I can't get numbers. They're not public.
Also true. It's really hard to get the numbers.
Yeah, and I don't even think they know their numbers most of the time. Like, it's who knows the numbers? It's like, it's the Wild West. So sometimes I can, like, do a little dance and try to get some numbers. But basically, when I get, I become, like, some sort of detective where I look at all these clues to see if I think that the show is worth my client's time. I mean, I believe in the small shows too, but really sometimes there are shows where there's like two listeners, you know, and I don't want to waste my client's time. So I look at, you know, do they have a website or, you know, I do look at ratings and reviews on iTunes, but I don't think that tells the whole story. You know, I look at the hosts, how do they promote the show? Who do they follow? Are they in the podcasting world, or do they have a newsletter? They don't have to have all of these things, but there's like clues. Even just like you can just tell don't judge a book by its cover, but you can tell by the show art a little bit. Past guests, who have their past guests been? Like, all this plays in for me. So basically, when I get a hit, I go to my client and I say, here's why I think this is worth your time. What do you think? You know, but I do believe in the small shows more so than, and because a lot of the times, even like the small shows will work really, really hard with you and work really hard to promote the show, you know, and so they might have a smaller audience, but they might have a higher percentage of the audience that's going to buy your book.
Nice. So I want to kind of abandon podcasts a little bit and just ask if you have any thoughts about, I've noticed a lot of people are moving to like Instagram live interviews and Facebook live interviews and probably even YouTube interviews, but I'm not really a YouTube watcher, so I don't know. Is that a similar pitch model? Have you thought about it at all?
Yeah, I think people, I don't know, how do you feel about when you see, do you join a lot of them? Do you watch a lot of them? Do you enjoy them?
I don't, so I find it hard to get excited about, but I do know that people do. And I know at least one podcaster who just does her podcast as an Instagram Live interview. So, you know, she's killed two birds with one stone, and if anybody watches, I guess, great. And if they don't, great. And I guess we've toyed with that a little bit, not very much, because then we would have to clean up our offices. So yeah, I'm not a fan, and typically when I'm not a fan, it doesn't work for me to strive to be a part of things, but I'm not sure that would really mean I shouldn't create one, not so much that I shouldn't try to be on them. So I don't know. I wondered if you had any thoughts yet. I feel like people are watching, but I don't know how much.
Well, I think people are getting sick of them. That's the because it was like when the pandemic hit at first, that's what everyone did. Comedians, like everyone, you know? And I really, really do think people are getting a little sick of them. One thing I love about them is that it is like kind of like, why not? Especially when we were really, really stuck in our homes. It's like, why not? You know, and also even just like, we need human connection right now, you know? So I would never like say, don't do it if you want to do it. But I will say, I would really, really push for a podcast episode and not a Instagram Live or whatever. A couple times I have pitched someone and they said, we don't have, you know, we're booked, we're scheduled up for far away, whatever. We can't book your client right now, but would they be interested in doing an Instagram Live? And I always say yes. And I have a couple of things happen. Either I watch and I'm very disappointed in how low the numbers are. It's someone with a very high following and there's like 12 people watching, which, you know, that could be 12 really, really engaged people, or it could, but it could also be half of the people are me and my family who I made watch the Instagram Live. But but sometimes it's bigger. But also sometimes the podcaster turns the audio into, if it goes really well, you can definitely turn that into a podcast episode. So I think I would never say don't do it, but I'm not like super excited about them. And I think they're kind of starting to wear on people who are like, oh gosh, another person's going live, you know?
Well, and don't they disappear? I mean, you can't, you know, like a podcast, you can go and, you know, what we hear from a lot of people is
that's stories. The Instagram lives still out there.
Sorry about that.
They're not as findable. I think most people make use of them. They, you know, they put mm-hmm. them in their story, or they put them on their IGTV, or they record it otherwise. I think they can disappear, but most people, it depends.
I mean, it is a great technology, because how easy is it? You know, like, wonderful. Like, thank goodness. You know, I love how easy it is, but I would much prefer a real podcast interview.
The thing that's so great about podcasts is they have such a long life in terms of people discovering you, because there are people discovering new podcasts all the time. Like, I'm constantly trying new podcasts to see if it's something I like. And then if I do like it, for example, I've been talking about this on the here recently, is the Long Form podcast. Oh my gosh, I love the Long Form podcast. So I listened to all of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm like 2 years behind, but it doesn't matter because this is new to me. And so suddenly I'm reading an author whose book isn't new anymore, but it doesn't matter because I'm, you know, it's newly in my universe. And that's the thing that's been really cool, is people saying, you know, oh, I just discovered this podcast and I know you were on 3 years ago, but I just listened to it and went out and got your book. I love that, the life of a podcast episode.
Yeah, I see that as a great thing. Sometimes I do work with people that, you know, if you want all of your publicity to come out on your pub day, that can be a little challenging with podcasts, because some podcasts come out every other week on a Friday, you know, so I can't always get stuff to happen on a pub day. But I definitely see that as a good thing, because I also tell my clients, like, start working with me before. Podcasting takes a little bit longer, the booking takes a little bit longer, so start working with me earlier, like early. We'll, you know, record a bunch of things and ask, you know, the podcasters to hold the interviews until closer to your pub date. So then during your pub week, you know, you can be writing op-eds or doing whatever crazy social media things you have to do that you can't do in advance. And hopefully you have these podcasts banked that will be coming out as close to your pub date as possible.
We actually just recorded one for someone who has a book coming out in September.
Yep. And we were a little bit like, well, but then, you know, you get to thinking, well, July and August can get quite, oh, who knows what they'll be like this year, but they can get quite tight. So it's nice to have, and it's nice. He's going to be a tough get, I think.
Yeah.
As things get closer, because that's going to be a big book.
Can you tell us what it is, or is it a secret?
Oh, no, sure. His name's Jeff Salingo, and the book is called, I know what the book's about. I forget the name. Jess?
it's on my thing right here. He has a new book. He's written for a long time about colleges and college admissions and stuff like that. So he has a new book about getting into college, and it's called Getting In, I believe, but I'm looking it up right now on Who Gets In and Why. And it's about college admissions, and, you know, it'll be out in September, but the podcast is already banked.
The reason we talked to him, I think this is kind of interesting for our guest, We didn't talk about college admissions at all. We talked to him about the challenge of embedding himself in admissions offices, which are notoriously private and difficult to interview at all, let alone spend a year with. So that was the pitch that he made to us that appealed. Mm-hmm. Was, wow, that's a hard thing to do as a writer. Please come tell us how you did it. So I think that's actually a really good example of, you know, it's not just I have written a book, which is great. Book writing is really hard. But, you know, what about it would your fellow writers want to hear?
And he actually pitched us a couple of ideas. It's not just I have this book, but here are some really cool angles or things he ran into. And, you know, anyway, so that really helped inform the conversation. I just helped a friend of mine who has a really great book. Kristen Green has a book called Something Must Be Done About Prince Edward County. And it's about the fact that Brown versus Board of Education happened and this Prince Edward County didn't want to desegregate. So they just closed all schools and then created these private schools for white kids. And it's an interesting book. But what's more interesting about that story is that her family is involved in the history of that story, her grandparents, her parents, that kind of thing. And it has had it that writing that book has had a real impact on her family within the community of in Prince Edward County. So that's the most interesting part of that story to me. And so playing up stuff like that about your book is really important.
When will you publish the book about getting into college, or publish the episode about the book getting
right around his pub date. Partly that's a service to him. You know, he was a lovely guest. Partly it's a service to our listeners who might want the book. It's frustrating to hear and not be able to get it. So, yeah, that made complete sense to us. Sometimes we talk to people. We definitely talk to people who've written books a long time ago. And sometimes we talk to people whose book isn't coming out for a while because there's something interesting going on in the writing of it or the pitching of it or the creating of it. We talked to one guest like while she was writing and then while she was getting ready to launch and then after her launch. That was Mary Laura Philpott. And that was also partly because she was just so good to talk to.
And it was fun to hear the full story of, you know, the process and then, you know, having it at the launch happen. And then she was able to talk about things she would have done differently. And that was so great because we had followed her story all the way through.
I was just listening to the United States of Anxiety, which is a podcast I recommend. And Kai Wright is the host. And he had this author of a short story collection that was written in 2018. Called Friday Black. And, you know, who would ever think that a short story collection that was written in 2018 would be part of this huge story on this great WNYC podcast, The United States of Anxiety. But that's a good example of, you know, it was relevant. It's about like violence against people of color. And so it really, you know, came in handy. So if you've written a book a couple years ago about something that's going on, you could restructure it and say, why am I an expert on talking about this? And this book is fiction. It's short stories. And I really loved, it's a good example. If you want to listen to this episode, The United States of Anxiety, it's called I Did Not Watch the Video. It's a really good example of even if you have a fiction book or a collection of short stories, how you can be a great podcast guest.
That's cool. That is fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of which, let's talk about some podcasts. We decided to switch it up today since we're talking to a podcast person and not talk about books we've read, but talk about podcasts we've been listening to. So, Lauren, do you want to lead us off with that one?
Yes. I have a really good, I think your listeners will really like it. Do you know the podcast Thresholds?
No.
No.
It's actually produced by LitHub. But the host is Jordan Kisner, who wrote Thin Places. It's a new essay collection. And what I really like about it is Jordan is a really good interviewer. She interviews authors about like big moments in their lives. So it's not just a regular book interview podcast. She talks about like the moments that like one big moment in their life that maybe changed them and made them who they are and maybe led them to writing their book. And there's an interview with Tara Westover. That's where I started, and I think that's a really good place to start. But there's Mira Jacob and Alexander Chi, and the Leslie Jameson one just came out, and I haven't listened to that one yet. I think it's really good because she also, like, pulls back the curtain a little bit. Like, she's really vulnerable about the whole interviewing experience and what it was like interviewing the person and how she felt. It's a beautiful podcast. So that's my, like, book recommendation. But I'll give really quickly, 99% Invisible has a like spin-off series called Articles of Interest. And mm-hmm. the host, Avery Truffleman, excuse me, has this mini series called Articles of Interest, and it's about clothing, and it's beautiful storytelling. And each episode focuses on a different piece of clothing, and there's like these little stories with history, and the sound is, it's my ideal sound situation, and I really, really recommend that you listen to that if you love beautiful storytelling and kind of like niche stories.
Nice. Both of those sound great.
I'm going to go check those out immediately.
What about you two?
What about you, KJ?
Well, I'm going to just put out there, I confess that I have been listening to podcasts a lot less. My typical podcast listening place was in the car, and I am no longer in the car. And my other typical podcasting place is on while I am working out, and I have changed the way that I work out, and I'm not listening. So at the moment, I'm limited in my podcasting, but there's one that I'm still listening to pretty frequently, and I just realized that she's got a new guest that made me definitely want to listen to it. I love How Do You Write from Rachel Herron, and I think listeners may already know it. They'll definitely like it, but the thing that got me this week is that her guest is Jenny Nash, who is, of course, part of Arthur Accelerator, who are our sponsor, but that is not why I want to listen to it. I want to listen to it because every time I listen to Jenny talk, I want to go write, and that is an extremely valuable, to the point where I have done the thing where you search the person's name and see what podcast they're on her, just so that she'll make me want to write.
I've never heard of this before. This is so exciting. Thank you.
It's just, it's a really nice, it's a very simple interview podcast. She's got a number of pretty set questions she asks almost anyone. She says, I'll keep it short so you can get back to work. it's always good. And they're rarely big name authors. It's usually the working stiffs, like
all of us. The best, you know, like I almost don't listen to podcasts when I see like gigantic celebrities on them sometimes, because I think
me neither. I totally don't.
Yeah, it's
I'm like, that is not going to be helpful to me. I love you, Tina Fey, but knowing how you got your book deal is not. Yeah, I know how you got your book deal. Actually, I've got that covered. So. I'll listen to you be funny, but yeah, same. I like to listen to real people with real stories that, you know, have something to say to me.
Yeah.
What do you got, Jess?
I'm still obsessing over the long form podcast. I find that they manage to get the most honest and forthcoming writers on their podcast, and it makes me want to write. Every time I listen to that podcast, I'm like, oh, I need to go get to work on something. But I also, for a while there, I was on a jag with CBC podcasts, the Canadian Broadcasting Company podcasts, because they have a bunch that, and these are not at all current anymore. They came out a long time ago, but one was called Finding Cleo. There was a bunch of other ones, but the one that I loved was Someone Knows Something, and they have a new season. They're on season 6 now, and it's essentially these are podcasts where with investigative reporters where they, you know, hear from someone that they're, or hear about a story where someone has gone missing and the police have given up. And so this reporter basically throws himself into an investigation of the case. And Finding Cleo was a masterpiece, but all of the seasons of Someone Knows Something also are. And because it's Canadian Broadcasting Company and these particular podcasts are really interested in the more people, Indigenous peoples disappear than others. And so a lot of the stories happen to be about Indigenous Canadians. So they're just really great stories. And the problem is now season 6, I binged the others, but season 6 is in progress. So now I have to wait like all the regular people for each episode to come live, which drives me bonkers. But I prefer to find podcasts where if I like it, I can binge the whole thing and I don't have to be patient. And so there are even times when I will wait until the entire season is over so that if I like it, I can get it all at once. So
I have a question about Someone Knows Something, because I've never listened to it, but my mom loves it. But she literally stopped listening because she hates the theme song so much. And I've never even heard, how bad is the theme song? Is my mother crazy? Like, what is going on?
I can't bring it up. I don't know. I I have no idea.
Not memorable, but not that bad, apparently.
I'm also really good. Like, normally I skip through the sponsor messages and stuff like that, but I am...
Bite your tongue!
I know. You know, I don't need to know about... Many of them are, like, for a mattress, and I have a mattress. I'm good. But the other thing that's really interesting is because I listen to podcasts so much, I'm actually really good at just tuning out the stuff that I don't care about and sort of tuning back in when the content comes back on. So maybe I just tuned the intro music out. I have no idea. I don't know why I can't call it up.
I feel like we need to find it and listen to it.
When my mother told me that, I wasn't thinking, oh, I bet that song is really bad. I was thinking, Mom, how are you? Let's talk. Are you okay? You need to see a therapist about this. Like, I feel like it was a her thing, but that just goes to show that, like, people can hate podcasts for very random reasons, and you know, your voice or whatever weird thing that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up their music right now to see if it's that bad, but I can't imagine it would be so bad that it would make me not want to listen to the podcast. But I can tell you, the narrators of audiobooks, though, there have been times when I've been like, forget it, I can't listen to that. So. Yeah.
Are you playing it in the background?
Yeah, I can't. I'm not even hearing their intro music, so who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But I love the podcast, so I will forgive a lot if it's good storytelling.
I know, me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, this has been a ton. Fantastic.
Yes.
Everyone, you can find Laurel at Tink Media. So it's Tink Media... Lauren, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, because it's Pacell. No, I'm looking at your whole, it's Lauren Pacell, and I rolled it together. Yep. You can find Lauren at, it's tinkmedia.co, right?
Yes. Thank you for remembering the co, because I always screw that up. Yes, it's .co.
Well, it'll be linked in our show notes, which you can always find at amwritingpodcast.com, and which you can get in your email inbox if you sign up for our weekly emails, which you should totally do.
Lauren, is your nifty little match you up with the podcast thing available at your website too?
It's on my newsletter. You have to subscribe to my newsletter.
Okay.
But if you go to podcastthenewsletter.com, you can subscribe to my newsletter. And I'm serious. I throw my heart and soul. I spend way too much time on it. It is like a love letter to podcasts and podcasters every single week. And this has been such a joy because you two love my two favorite things, books and podcasts. So this has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And everyone
should email me, even if they have questions. Like, you can make your own campaign for yourself. And I, even if you don't want to hire me, just email me with questions. I'm serious. I love helping people.
Oh, no.
I get it.
No, it won't be that bad. We promise.
Lauren is an amazing resource, though. So absolutely check out her newsletter, subscribe to her newsletter, check out her website. She loves the stuff she's talking about. So,
yes. And if you have questions and she's happy to answer them, we're all for it. So give her an email. Okay.
All right.
Take us out, Jess. I keep stopping you.
No worries. No, this has been a jam-packed episode, and I love those episodes. But until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause, stop, stall.